Well, a warm welcome to this talk. Now, I'm going to be presenting a case series here of three patients whose cancers have gone into remission after taking an antiparasitic drug, fenbendazole. Now, this is from this paper here. Fenbendazole, enhancing anti-tumor effects, a case series, and it's a full paper reviewed in Clinical Oncology Case Reports, and you can download the full paper there. It does contain quite a bit of medical jargon, but it is quite an intelligible and readable paper. Let's get straight down to the abstract, and then you can decide if you want to listen to the whole video. So this is the reference here. Check it out for yourself. This is the PDF. Now, the PDF here contains radiographic evidence, so basically evidence from x-rays, of how well these cancers have resolved. Now, I don't think I can show you them because certain video outlets don't like anatomical pictures on my channel. I'm not quite sure why, but I'm not sure I can show them to you. But do click on that link there and you can see them for yourselves, I assure you. All you've got to do is click on that and you see them. Now, background. Fenbendazole is a cheap and readily available antiparasitic, commonly used veterinary medicine. Now, it's a bit like ivermectin. It's an anti-worm medicine. It's in a different group, but it's an antiparasitic medication. And I've used the human form of this, mebendazole and abendazole. I've provided thousands and thousands of doses of mebendazole and abendazole to projects around the world, where worm infections are common, with devastatingly brilliant effects and never any recorded side effects reported to me. So it's a drug I've distributed for a long, long time in human form, but I stress this is the veterinary form. But it's the same group of drugs as we'll see. So fenbendazole, sometimes called fenben, belongs to benzimidiols. So this is the group of drugs. So mebendazole, abendazole, fenbendazole. They're all in the same group of drugs, and you can tell they all end in azole, azole. That's always the bit on the end, always the suffix. So similar molecules, just slightly different, but all in the same group of drugs that we are very familiar with a very long lasting safety profile data set attached to it. Now, these destabilize microtubules through a mechanism similar to these other drugs. Now, I think what they're saying here is, so when a cell wants to divide in mitosis, the chromosomes kind of line up in the middle here, like this, process of mitosis. And then there's microtubules, like pull these chromosomes into the right half of the cell. So they like contract and pull them into the right half of the cell. And then when they're in the right half of the cell just divides into two. So I think this is what's happening here. So these drugs are interfering with the formation of these red microtubules. And if you don't have the microtubules, that means you can't have cell division. And of course, cancer is out of control cell division. So that seems to be one of the modalities of action, but we'll look at more later if you do decide to stick around. Microtubules through a mechanism similar to, anti-oncogenic, anti-cancer. And these are recognized anti-cancer drugs. Right, although there is no reported cases in the literature, there have been several anecdotal stories published on website blogs with individuals praising its ability to treat a wide variety of cancers. So we need to listen to these anecdotal reports and convert them into proper scientific research. Now, of course, we stress every time we do this, this channel is not giving medical information. I am not prescribing drugs. I'm not advising any drugs. We're merely looking at this paper for purely academic interest. So this is not clinical at all. Having said that, let's go on. So, not reported in the literature, why not? You'd think this would be well reported. Now, they present three patients with various genitourinary malignancies. So these malignancies started off in the genitourinary system, so to do with the genitalia and to do with the urinary tract, who demonstrate complete response after receiving fenbimazole. And quite incredible. Let's call it FBZ. Complete response. Complete's a big word in medicine. As a single supplementary chemotherapeutic agent, So sometimes these people just took it on its own. Other times they took it with existing chemotherapeutic protocols. Two interesting points there. One is there seems to be some efficacy taking on its own. The other is taking the traditional approach. We can give this as well, and it doesn't seem to have any adverse interactions with the other drugs and no reported adverse reactions on this case series. In two patients, they had experienced progression of metastatic disease despite multiple lines of therapy prior to the initiation of fenbendazole. There were no side effects reported from fenbendazole. The conclusion, fenbendazole appears to be a potentially safe and effective anti-neoplastic, neo-new plastic tissue, and so cancer is a neoplastic disease, that can be repurposed for human use. So I think the drug regulators need to start looking at this as a matter of some urgency, because people are dying from cancer now, to look at this, to look at repurposing this for human use. When other preparations are safe and effective, they can seem to get those passed really pretty quickly. So if something is safe and effective, surely it can be accredited for human use by our national authorising agencies pretty quickly if they want to. Of course, the researchers, the writers here say further research is necessary to define a role of fenbendazole as a chemotherapeutic option. We always need more details. So there we go. Three patients basically cured of the cancers. Read the paper for yourself. That's what they seem to be saying to me. Let's look at some detail. So fenbendazole, a cheap anti-helminthic, so an anti-worm medicine commonly used in veterinary practice. And of course, there's a huge overlap. I would imagine virtually all the vast majority of preparations used in veterinary medicine come from human sources. We are animals, after all. The idea that there's one group of drugs for humans and another group of drugs for animals isn't true. Most veterinary preparations, as far as I understand it, were initially come from human drugs. So all the antibiotics, I think, that animals would use, or virtually all, can be used for humans as well. They actually come from humans and are used by the vets very often. However, despite multiple anecdotal stories and news outlet reports for its efficiency in treating metastatic cancer, that's cancer that's already spread, the clinical literature behind the use of fenbendazole as a potential anti-neoplastic agent remains non-existent. You would think that people would be all over this, but doesn't seem to matter too much. That's why we're encouraging academic interest in this preparation. Right, case one, 63-year-old Caucasian male, presented with flank pain, rapid weight loss, and transient fever, all, of course, big warning signs for cancers. Big warning signs. Abdominal CT, computerized tomography, revealed a 3 centimeter solid renal mass, in other words, tumor in his kidney. Diagnosed as renal cell carcinoma, malignant renal cell carcinoma. Traditional drugs used then discontinued, very often for intolerable side effects. 1 month after discontinuation, he had a repeated MRI, magnetic resonance image scan, showed increase in size in recurrent left renal mass, and also lesion in the pancreatic head and the body of the pancreas. So tumours in the kidney, pancreas, and head of the pancreas and body of the pancreas. He started alternative therapy with fenbendazole, 1 gram, 3 times a week, at the suggestion of one of his friends with head neck cancer. So this is not suggested by an oncologist. This is not suggested by a clever professor of research. It's his mate who suggested it. Why aren't more doctors prepared to suggest alternative non-toxic therapies? Interval MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, found near complete resolution of the previously noted left renal mass. Brilliant news. This is after starting with the fenbendazole that was recommended to him by his mate. As well as decreasing pancreatic head, body, and pelvic bone lesions. So there was actually spread to the pelvic bone. That had decreased as well. Similar imaging for the past 10 months have not shown any evidence of recurrent metastatic disease. That is spread. And he's continued taking fenbendazole without any reported side effects. I like that, without any reported side effects. If you've supported patients through chemotherapy, it's brutal. It's horrible. Well, it can be. So some aren't so bad, but some can be horrible. The idea that you can have an anti-cancer preparation, if it does turn out to be an anti-cancer preparation, of course, this is just an academic discussion, then that would be great not to have the side effects. Case two, 72-year-old Caucasian male, urethral lesion. So the urethra is the tube that carries the urine from the bladder to the outside world through the penis. He had a distal penectomy, so the lower, the end part of the penis was surgically removed. And then they sent that pathology. It showed a high-grade urothelial. So the urothelium is the tissue that lines the inside of the urethra and the bladder and the urinary tract. But it showed a high-grade urothelial carcinoma of the urethra. So aggressive cancer diagnosed. 4 years later, the patient developed a cough. 5.5 centimetre by 4 centimetre, so that's what, 2.5 inches left hilum mass. The hilum is the area of lung where the blood vessels go in and out. So the blood vessels go in and out and the lymphatics go in and out. It's where the lung is basically connected to all the circulatory system. So he had a mass there and a left upper lobe nodule in his lung with multiple abnormal lymph nodes. So not sounding good at all. That is what he had. He had a bronchoscopy. That's looking down into the bronchial passages in the lungs. And biopsy revealed a squamous carcinoma. And this could have been primary. So this may not have spread from the urethra. So it looks like this gentleman could have had two primary lesions. He just developed, basically happened to develop lung cancer at the same time that he had the urethral cancer. Could be either way, but probably primary. Given chemotherapy, traditional chemotherapy, developed progressive retroperitoneal disease. So that's in the abdomen behind the peritoneal membranes in the abdomen. So despite chemotherapy, developed progressive retroperitoneal cancer. So in other words, it looked like this is spread basically into the abdominal cavity. The patient opted for complementary therapy, taking a fenbendazole, 1 gram orally, 3 days per week. So the patient opted for taking fenbendazole, 1 gram orally, 3 days a week. That's what he took. He also took vitamin E, curcumin, which of course comes from turmeric and CBD oil. Now, these are a bit confusing because you've got several variables there. Always a bit annoying when patients take several variables, but we don't know. But from the context of the others, it sounds like the fenbendazole was the effective, most effective part. Serial CTs, computerized tomography, in the past 9 months showed progressive decrease in size to 0.5 and 0.5 with complete radiographic response. So the tumor size had gone down from, what was it? It was 5.5 by 4, and then it was down to 0.5 by 0.5, but nothing to see on the x-ray. Complete radiographic response. Way better than could possibly be hoped for. Case three, a 63-year-old female. CT images revealed 7.5 centimetre right lateral bladder mass with extensions. Hydronephrosis. What this means is that the ureter, so the ureter is the tube that takes the urine from the kidney to the bladder. And if there's tumour in the bladder, that can block off the ureter. And that means the urine dams back to the kidneys. That's hydronephrosis. And that had to be drained by basically surgical means, going directly through the skin to drain that. So hydronephrosis is because the tumour mass blocking off the tract passage of the urine from the kidney to the bladder. Transurethral, that's via the urethra, resection of bladder tumour, demonstrated a large necrotic mass, so that means dead tissue. And the pathology confirmed urothelial carcinoma with 85% squamous carcinoma and 2% sarcomatoid histology. So basically two types of cancer there together. He had six cycles of normal chemotherapy of 4 months. Six cycles over the course of 4 months of normal radiotherapy. And they took concurrent fenbendazole, 1 gram, 3 times a week with that. Follow-up CT revealed no evidence of disease with minimal residual thickening of the right inferior bladder wall. Quite amazing, considering there was a massive tumour there, enough to block off the urine and necrosis. And then it showed minimal residual thickening of the right inferior bladder wall is stunning. She declined to proceed with a cystectomy, cutting the bladder out, and remains on surveillance with no evidence of progression. Marvellous. So a very impressive case series. Now, these are from doctors in Stanford University, who work in Stanford University and Washington University. So this is very high rate credibility reporting. And as I say, read it for yourself. Discussion. We have three patients with primary genitourinary tumours who demonstrate complete response after receiving fenbendazole therapy. Interesting. This raises the question of how effective fenbendazole can be as an anti-oncogenic agent, an anti-cancer agent, and merits further investigation. You know, I agree. I think this does merit further investigation. So fenbendazole belongs to a class of microtube destabilizing agents, as we just talked about before. The ability to disrupt microtubule polymerization to induce mitotic arrest. In other words, mitosis is cell division. So it stops cell division by, so these, if you have the chromosomes here in the middle, like this, in the middle of the cell, then these microtubules that pull them into various parts of the cell, they form together, they polymerize, they form a long chain, they form together like that. And then they make a complete spindle, and that retracts and pulls the chromosome into the right half of the cell for mitosis. If they can't polymerize, you can't make the spindles, the chromosomes can't divide, and you can't get the cell division. And also it promotes apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. And also P53 activation. P53 is an oncosuppressor gene. So it'll produce a protein which suppresses cancer, the body's own way of doing it naturally. The variety of mechanisms by which this class of medication functions may help limit progression of resistant cancer cell lines. Now, the paper does give quite a few other mechanisms of action, how this can work. I'm not going to go into them in detail, but it's working in many different ways on many different pathways. And we talked about this with Professor Dalgliesh, the famous oncologist recently who did pioneering work using thalidomide-type molecules that have many different... Thalidomide molecules, of course, not giving to pregnant women, but for treating cancers, that have many different modalities of action. And ivermectin is the same. It has many different modes of action. And it looks like this fenbendazole has many different modes of action. That means it can potentially act against many different tumour types and many different stages of the disease process, because it doesn't have one mechanism of action like so many modern drugs do. It works more of a kind of a shotgun approach, attacking different biochemical pathways that can potentially be oncogenic. Fenbendazole has been safely utilized. This is the key thing. This is very safe, safely utilized as an antiparasitic for various different animal species and could be repurposed for human malignancies. Let's just stress that. This is really important. It's been safely utilised as an antiparasitic in different animal species. And I've said I've used different drugs in the same group in humans with great levels of safety. And the authors are saying here, and could be repurposed for treating human malignancies. Now, of course, it wouldn't be under patent. You wouldn't be able to sell it for massive amounts of money. But of course, the people that are manufacturing drugs aren't interested, would be interested in saving millions of human lives, wouldn't they? So I would hope research would be sponsored into this fairly quickly. Now, just on the off chance that Big Pharma doesn't want to research this, I think that we really need national governments to take this on and say, look, there's a real possibility here that we could be treating millions of cancers with a very safe drug, with absolutely minimal side effects, getting full resolution of cancers. If there's only a 1% chance of that, that is merits a massive research investment. If there's only a 1% chance that this could be achieved, this marvellous outcome could be achieved. If there's something like a 50% chance, then of course it should be even more so, should it be taken on by various governments and national agencies. And if national health bodies don't look at this, it really makes you wonder why they wouldn't look at this. Several benzimidazoles have already shown promise for human repurposing, and as we've said, mebendazole, abendazole used in humans for years. Mebendazole has been shown in case reports to be efficacious with few side effects in patients with metastatic adrenocortical carcinoma, so that's the adrenal glands, that's not very common. But metastatic colon cancer, heck, we have a lot of that. Wow, do we have a lot of metastatic colon cancer. Very common, very often goes to the liver. If we could give a drug, such as mebendazole, to treat metastatic colon cancer, that would be a complete revelation. You know, what we normally say, if you do a scan and you say it's in the liver, then basically that patient's written off. And if there's a 1% chance that mebendazole could be effective in treating liver metastatic cancer from the colon, there's a 1% chance that is true. In my view, it's unfortunate if that isn't researched. Mebendazole, effective in animal studies against glioblastoma, so possible use in brain tumour. And also in animal models against hematological malignancies. They don't specify which ones, but you would imagine they mean things like leukemia. Given evidence of its high tolerability, people don't complain about it. They can take it without side effects or very, very minimal side effects, if any. And applicability to a wide range of malignancies. So there's so many ways that this is working. It could have applicability to a wide range of malignancies. So this has so many pathways of working. This could apply to a wide range of cancers. A wide range of cancers, potentially. And the researchers say this warrants further investigation for fenbendazole and other benzimidiols as safe chemotherapeutic options. I agree. Conclusion, there remains limited data with few published studies on the anti-oncogenic properties of fenbendazole. Other benzimidiols, the same group, have been studied to a larger extent, and the knowledge can be drawn upon to help further studies of fenbendazole studies. I agree completely. And to gauge the efficacy of this drug class, whether as a solitary agent or in combination. I mean, to begin with, oncologists could just prescribe this alongside their traditional treatments. Because what if there's no side effects, you've got a really good risk-benefit ratio, I would have thought. Given the potential benefits of fenbendazole with what seems to be a limited toxicity profile, further research is warranted to evaluate in the clinical setting. That paper was written in 2021. I missed it, but I'm only me. How come all the major universities seem to have missed it? How come all the major pharmaceutical industries haven't acted on it as far as I'm aware? How come government agencies and regulatory agencies and government-funded research hasn't taken this up with gusto? As far as I'm aware, they haven't. Read the paper for yourself. See what you think. And of course, never take any medication based on anything you hear on this channel. This is purely for academic interest. As always, thank you for watching.